Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Today, I want you to get ready for the Word of God, the Word that He has for us as a church today. And Nick just mentioned that you can type those answers in the chat. I just want to let you know that we actually turned the chat off this morning because we don't want anything to be a distraction from what is going on and what God is saying to you. But having said that, chat is something that you can actually turn off if you want. So if you've got a TV and it comes up on the TV and it's distracting or on your phone, you can actually go underneath it and you can select chat and you can turn that off whenever you want and you don't have to be distracted. But for those who like to engage with that, we'll keep that on in the first part of the morning as well. What a great morning we are having this morning, and I'm so thankful for the worship team that have come in a completely separate space. It is very weird not being able to see them at all or do anything, but it's great to have them come and serve us, and I know you'd be blessed by them. And Sky and Dan and Julia, thank you very much for what you've been doing, and Chris as well. This is the first Sunday back since we finished our month of prayer and fasting in September. And I hope you engaged with that, and I hope you enjoyed that. And I've heard many different areas of feedback from people as they had that time where they put aside that extra time and they fasted, seeking God's face. And I just wanted to share a little bit of a testimony from that time with you. But before I do that, if you didn't engage with us with regard to the fasting in the month of September, we have a month full of YouTube videos of those morning sessions, half an hour sessions in the morning that you can pretty much do whenever you want. You could start them today, you could start them tomorrow. And if you need an answer for prayer, if you need God to give you perspective, if you need clarity with regard to your thinking right now, I'd encourage you to just pursue Him with all that you have. Put aside the time for God to speak. And this is one of the major things that came across to me as I heard the feedback come from this month, is that perspective. God shifted my perspective through this month. And it leads to, when our perspective is shifted, it leads to peace. It leads to us knowing the truth. It leads to clarity in our minds and in our lives in an amazing way. And see, perspective is one of those interesting things that is shifted very quickly by our circumstances. What I mean by that is if you've ever done woodworking, if you've ever worked with Tim before, or you've chopped wood or whatever you've done, no doubt you've had a splinter at some point in your life, in your fingers. And splinters are a pain, right? They're annoying. And the first thing is to check it out and to try and, I don't know, I try and like squeeze it out. It's probably not the best thing. You need to get some tweets. Squeeze, yes. Squeeze it out. But I tell you what's the best thing to make you forget about the splinter that happens in your finger. It's not necessarily pulling it out, but what happens if you've got a splinter in your finger that annoys you, but then a log falls on your foot? You forget immediately about the splinter in your finger because there's something else going on. Your perspective of the splinter has shifted. And I feel like this year that our perspective has shifted a little bit on life. And I've seen it the way people have responded to the pandemic, that the perspective has shifted as this thing has been dropped on us in some good ways and in some bad ways. Perhaps you've come together as a family a little bit more over this time. Perhaps you've seen some friendships that have maybe distanced over this time. Our perspectives have changed in this situation. But one of the big ones that I've seen, and it's something that I want to talk about today, is that COVID has proven to have a greater risk when it comes to the elderly in our community. A greater risk for the disease to outwork in negative ways in the elderly. And it's not exclusive to them, but it is in that space. And it's created a little bit of generational tension, I feel. And if you've heard any of the media reports or you've read some articles, no doubt you would have read some of this. And there's a debate that has continued to happen about the appropriateness of the social response to this pandemic. And is there, or even can there be, a balanced response, one that both saves lives and doesn't destroy lives in any other different sphere? And I want to ask you, what is, or what should be, or what has been our response as Christians? What should we be thinking? What should we be doing with regard to this massive question that you may end up having a conversation with someone about? And see, it's not really about what makes sense to us. It's not really about what feels good or is based on our emotions. It's not what anyone argues is best. But church, it is about what God says. What does God say? And we need to continue to make sure that we align our perspective with God's, not without the best commentator or not with someone who we believe has it all together, but with God's. What is God's perspective? What does the Bible say? What does God say? Well, ultimately, the Bible to every single one of us says that we are loved and we are cared for by God, to every single one of us. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should then walk in them." See, true perspective comes when we spend time in the presence of God. If you've ever been under a teacher before, perhaps it's in church or perhaps it's been at university or students when you've been at school, no doubt when you hear someone enough and you're under them, or perhaps it's your parents as well, you end up learning and you notice some of their mannerisms. Right now you might be looking at me in the way I use my hands. Pastor Nick very much uses her hands a lot when she speaks as well. And you pick up those things, whether it's someone's demeanor or their mannerisms, what they say. Who am I if I say that you know that you know that you know? Who's that? Chris, do you know who that is? It's Graham. It is Graham. Absolutely. That's one thing that Graham says. There are many, many things that perhaps a number of us would know that Graham says, and they're good things that we can take with us as well. And the same can be said for when we spend time in the presence of God, that as we spend more time, we hear his voice, we hear what he has to say, and we allow ourselves to align our perspective with that of God's in any situation that we find ourselves in. So today I want to start with a verse in Deuteronomy. If you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn there? Deuteronomy chapter 6 we're going to look at. And the context to this verse that we're going to read, and Jesus mentions this again in the New Testament, is that the Ten Commandments have just been given. Moses has come down, he's laid down the Ten Commandments, and Israel are being prepared by God to enter into the promised land that has been given to them. And this speech, or these number of chapters here, this is not just a vision speech at the start of a year. This is not someone's 21st birthday party where someone just throws a lot of love on someone and speaks about their history. This is not even a 5-year or a 10-year plan, but this is commandments that are laid down that are meant to last through generations. So it's quite serious. And I want you to hear as we talk about this, first the command that's given, and then second, the explanation of how this command is going to actually last. So let's read it in verse 4. It's Deuteronomy 6, and we're going to read 4 to 9. It says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments I give to you today are to be on your hearts." Read this part with me. It says, "Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and your gates." And basically a synopsis of this verse, of these couple of verses here, is it is instruction for us in how to raise up godly generations in three ways. Number one, and write this down if you've got it. Number one, love God fervently. With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love God fervently. And the second part of that is to teach our children diligently. And this is for everyone. So if you're sitting at home and you say, "Man, I don't have any kids," or "My kids are out of the house," there are people that we have influence over. There are people that are under us that we have the ability to speak into. And so we are to teach them. We are to sit with them. We are to walk with them. Spend night and spend day. If you want to encapsulate that into a word, into two words, spend time with them. To spend time with our kids, to invest into the younger generation, for them to hear what God has done in us. And the third part of this, and we didn't actually read it, but in verse 10 to 19, it speaks about going into the land and how you were to live. And the third point for this is to live in the world carefully. And it's interesting that God talks about the promised land, and he says, go into the promised land and you're going to be blessed. There's a lot that's going to be good for you in there. It's been set up. Go in there, make the most of your time in there. And then a few times it says this, it says, but do not forget the Lord. But do not forget the Lord. And as I read that, as I was preparing that this week, I was thinking, and I unfortunately, I've seen it a number of times, and perhaps you have as well, where you see someone either come to know faith or they enter into a blessed area of their life and God has blessed them in a certain area. And it's great and they thank God, they praise God for it. And then they move on and they enjoy that blessing, but they forget God. They forget the origin of that blessing in the first place. I want us to be careful that as we enter into blessing in whatever area of our lives that is, that we continue to give thanks, that we continue to honor God for the blessings that He's given to us. Because that speaks of our thanks and our gratitude to God, but it also speaks to others, that we understand that this is not us, but this is coming from God alone. So let's continue to give our praise to God in the blessing. It says in verse 13, that is the Lord you shall fear. And that word fear, we spoke about in our life group actually this week, to live in awe-filled reverence of God. And our response to living like that is to lay our lives down before Him. That is the only suitable response, is to say, God, I am yours. Have your way in me. So in summary, we've got God's perspective and how important that is, that we maintain a godly perspective. And then the second part of that is that we allow that to be passed down. So we have a responsibility, and we talk about this all the time, to love God and then to love others. That's really at the crux of what this is all about. I'm going to read Psalm 71. Again, if you've got your Bibles, why don't you turn to that, or if you're on your phones, grab it out. It's great to be able to flick to these passages, and I'll have it on the screen as well. But Psalm 71, we're going to read 17 and 18. And this really encapsulates what I believe God is saying to us as a church here today. I'm really excited about this message, actually. So turn your ears up, get your journal out. Let's write down what God is saying. I believe this message is to remind some people that you haven't been forgotten about God, that He still has a plan and purpose for your life. And even if the narrative of the moment, even if right now all you hear is that you don't matter and that you have been forgotten, I want you to know the truth, that God has not finished with you yet. God is still working in your life at this point in time. He is not finished yet. So let's read it, Psalm 71. Thanks, guys. It says, O God, from my youth you have taught me, and I still proclaim your wondrous deeds. So even to old age, and say this with me, and gray hairs, O God, do not forsake me, until I proclaim your might to another generation, your power to all those to come. So to the elderly today, and I really don't know, I was talking to the guys before the service, I don't really know how to frame those in the older generation or those more experienced or old people. Like I don't, so please forgive me if I say something that I'm not up to offend anyone today, but you may be, because I don't know what term to say. People don't like seniors as well, I hear. Like, but there's a challenge for you at the end of this, so I want you to hear this. But I want you to know, if you're in that age group today, that your purpose has not expired. Your purpose has not expired. And again, I go back to what the world might be saying at the moment, but your purpose has not expired. Your role here is to proclaim the Lord and His goodness to the next generation. And to the youth, the other end of this. If you've got a youth with you in the room now, why don't you give them a stare for a second? Just make sure they're listening. If they've got a phone in their hand, they're playing a game, tell them to put it down. They've got to listen. I'm speaking to them today. To the youth, I want you to listen. And I want you to put in action that which you hear, the wisdom that you hear. As I encourage those in our congregation or those around you to speak wisdom into your lives, I want you to be able to listen. And let me say, just because you don't understand or may not have a context behind what they're saying doesn't mean it should be thrown away. I love what Pastor Graham says, and he says that we receive something, we hang it on a hook, and there are going to be some things that get spoken to you over this period in your youth that may not make sense, but the best thing for you is to hang that on a hook. This is wisdom that I need to hang on a hook so that when I go through one day, that I'm not searching through the bin of, man, I thought I heard about, but I've got that. That is what I need right now, because there is wisdom that is going to be shared with you. So learn well. It says in that verse 17, that teaching comes in this time in our youth. And for everyone in between, I want you to be responsible and us to lean in to these two sides of this, and for us to facilitate what happens. And perhaps you're new in the faith. Well, this youth party is for you to listen to the wisdom you hear. If you're old in the faith and you've been around, we have a responsibility to be able to share that. It's not just selfish, it's not just for us, but it's for others to hear as well. So, in this message series called Fruitful that we're in right now, this message for today is called Fruit for Generations. Fruit for Generations. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word today, and just even as we enter in right now, Holy Spirit, open up our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak your word to us. We thank you that your word does not return to you void, but it accomplishes that which you have purposed. And so, Father, we decide to lean into that today. Speak your truth, speak your life in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So we've learned through this series, and back to number one, which was a few weeks ago now, we learned that we have been designed to bear fruit, every single one of us. I wish I had a couple of apples up here to juggle. My kids ask me to juggle all the time at the moment, and I struggle with it, to be honest, but I'm doing my best for them. But we're learning about that every one of us has been designed to bear fruit. That's just what we've been designed to do. And fruit, that fruit only comes from being in the vine. See, the fruit that we bear actually is determined by where we have been planted, by where we get that energy and that nutrition from. And that, we found, that is the Holy Spirit. Fruit comes from the Holy Spirit, the good fruit. And as we bear that fruit, which is to carry that fruit, the fruit is meant to be displayed. It's meant for others to see what God is doing in our lives. And for others to be able to experience that and to taste that. To taste and see that the Lord is good by the way that they see the fruit and partake of the fruit that we have. And the last couple of weeks, we heard some great messages on the fruit of the Spirit, peace and love, and how challenging they were. It's such a wonderful series. But today I want to speak specifically to your stage of life. Some of you might say, Andy, I've been listening. I don't feel like I'm ready to bear fruit. I feel like the fruit that's coming off me is bad right now and you don't want any of it. Or perhaps you're like, Andy, I've got some fruit coming, but it's not ripe enough yet. It's pretty green, and I know it would taste a bit bitter, and it's not ready to go yet. And there might be some of you on the other end of that, and you're like, that, Andy, my fruit is fairly well juiced right now. It's there's not much to it left anymore. It's pretty old. It's ready to go. It's fermenting. And I want to encourage you today. And I want to see some fruit ripened in some people. And I want to see some fruit refreshed in people, because there is still good fruit to come from your life from this point. I love that on the front page of our website that it says, Life Ministry Church, a safe place for all generations to come and know the love of Christ. I love that church is a place where we can come, normally, eventually, where we can come old and young together, the kids running around, the older folk having a cup of coffee and a cup of tea, and we can all enjoy this space and each other's company together under the one name, above all names, the name of Jesus, united as a church family, as a body of Christ. So the youth, give me a holler if you're a youth person at home right now. Yes, we've got a few. Hopefully, Chris, you are not youth, I'm afraid. You wait for your turn is further down. Yes, your first. Yeah, that's all right. Man, I tell you what, we miss having the youth in church. We miss you guys, but there's one thing about you that I don't actually miss. And this is more to the boys. Guys, if you have decided to grow a mullet over this time of lockdown, I suggest when the barber's open that you get there first thing. And get that thing out of here. So you're welcome in church. Your mullet needs to come off at the door, all right? We'll have some scissors for when we come back. Does anyone else agree with me on that? Or is that just me? I don't get them. But hey, that's the youth thing. I'm out of youth right now. But anyway, we love you anyway. We had a great youth service last Sunday night, and I want to honor our leaders and our youth pastors for the great work that they are doing with our youth. And if you missed that, you can jump on YouTube and check that out, our 6 p.m. service last week. You will be blessed as you hear what they had to say. But what is it for a young person to bear fruit? What does it look like for a youth person to bear fruit? Isn't that just an older person's responsibility? Doesn't fruit come when you're just of a good age? I tell you what, if you read through the Bible, there are many, many stories of young people who did amazing things for God. King David is a perfect example of this. And David came when he was, I think we estimate between 12 and 15 years old when he came and he took down Goliath as a shepherd boy. What an amazing thing to do at that age. The fruit that came out of his obedience was incredible. And that's the thing about each one of these stories that we hear is as people entered in to the calling that God had for them, it was out of simple obedience. That first step of hearing the voice of God and saying, "Yes, Lord, I will serve you. I will serve you." So, how do I become fruitful in my youth? And this is not just for youth, by the way. This is actually for everyone, although I'm addressing the youth. How do I become fruitful in my youth? The youth spoke about this as part of their theme this term. And write this down. It is to own your walk. Own your walk. And there comes a point for a lot of us, and I used to see this as I was part of youth, that youth would come, and it happened in my life as well, that as we come to a point where perhaps you've come to church with your friends, or perhaps you've come with your family for many years. I don't know why, perhaps you've sat there for many, many years just because you've come with a partner or someone, you've come to church. And there comes a point for every single one of us where we need to make a decision about ourselves, where our faith goes from being one that we are just wrapped up in with other people to one where we say, "God, I am serious. I am serious about my walk with you." We need to own our walk and take responsibility for ourselves in that. Matthew 16:24 was a great verse that they used. It says, "Then Jesus told his disciples, 'If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross,'" and say it with me, "'and follow me.'" To follow, not just to watch and enjoy, but to embrace and participate. To get in the game. Get in the game. I heard Collingwood had a good win. Is that right? Collingwood had a great win. Chris has come in pumped this morning over the West Coast Eagles. Get in the game, man. If the players are sitting watching from the sideline, they don't have an impact on the game. Own your walk. Let's get in the game. Second thing, young people, I want you to hear is that you are not too young to bear fruit. I don't know, you know, you might say, "I don't know enough, Andy. I don't know enough. Or you might say that maybe when I'm older, I'll be ready to bear fruit. Or perhaps I've tried, but they don't want me. It's been proven that they don't want me. They don't want my fruit. The Apostle Paul is going to encourage you today, as he encouraged a young Timothy when he was coming up and entering into his ministry. And it says this in 1 Timothy 4:12. This might be a verse that you want to write down, young person at home. It says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity." Love God. Love others. Be a blessing. Be a blessing. And the third thing I want you to know today is that we need you. We need the energy you bring. We need the ideas and the passion that you have. We need your skills. Skills. Give me a break. Man, I barely know how to cook a piece of toast, let alone have any skills. Let me say, you've got skills. Have you noticed over the last 6 months how pretty much the whole world has moved digital? What language do you speak better than English? Digital, maybe. I know some of you. But there is a place for you. There are skill sets that you have that we need you to use. And just on that, just on the technological space and social media, we are ready, man. We are ready for some youth that begin to redeem that space. Social media has been a weapon that the enemy has used for destruction for too long. And I'm looking for some people who are going to reclaim that space, that are going to use that tool, not to see destruction, but to see the name of Jesus lifted high, to see hope brought to people's lives. And you know, that doesn't come from just writing a verse and putting it on social media. That comes from your own heart and the transformation of your heart and what comes out of that into other people. Come on, man, come on. Let's reclaim that space, amen? I heard this quote the other day, and I want you to write this down, or parents, perhaps you need to write this down for your youth. It says this: "Don't let the culture set low expectations for what you may accomplish for Christ. Because that's what they'll try and do. And to do that, all you need to do is walk in with open hands. Say, God, I'm here to be used by you. God, I'm all yours. And I want you to know as you do that, that we as a church don't look down on you, but we are behind you. We are championing you forward. We are here to care for you and embrace you as part of God's family. You are more than what the world wants you to believe. You are more than what the enemy wants you to believe. See, we're coming to the end of another year here, and I know it's been a weird schooling year for all of our youth and our uni students. It's been strange. And you'll graduate, whether you're in year 7, you'll graduate to year 8, whether you're in first year uni, graduating to second year uni. At the end of the year, you'll graduate. But I tell you what, you never graduate into purpose. It is always there for you. It is there for you right now. There is no point in time where you come, where you go, all right, now I'm ready for purpose. It is right now for you. So church, if you have the opportunity to encourage our youth, pray that you do that. Get around them. That's community. That's community. And I can't wait till we come back together and are able to do that in this place. Now, I want to speak to the elderly. I want to speak to the other end of that. I want to speak to Chris's group. Chris is laughing. He's laughing. So I heard this actually the other day, that there was a lady who was working in an elderly home, in an aged care facility, and she ended up going there and her daughter was on break, or her daughter needed to go with her. And so she took her along to work. This is obviously before pandemic. And her 4-year-old daughter goes along with her. And so they were doing the afternoon rounds and delivering all the lunches out. And her daughter was just had wide eyes, seeing all the different old appliances there, seeing the walking frames and the canes and the wheelchairs over here. And she was just intrigued by the whole lot. And when she went into a room and she saw in the glass jar, she saw the dentures, a full set of dentures in the glass jar. And so the mum looks at her and thinks, oh man, what questions am I going to be asked? How am I going to explain all this? And the little girl walks up to her and whispers in, and she says, Mum, the tooth fairy's not going to believe this. Oh, isn't that funny? Yeah, isn't that funny? But in all seriousness, I want you to know that grey hair, I want you to see grey hair not as another ink blot on the use-by stamp of your life, but each grey hair, see it as an arrow that is to be fired at the lies that young people hear. Because the truth that you have, the experience that you have, is something that can help the generation under you. And that is our responsibility as we grow. To be fruitful in old age. And so what is that? And I want to answer this from Psalm 92. And we're going to see that for the rest of the service here. Is it possible to bear fruit in our old age? I'd ask you to look no further than our founding pastor, Hal Oxley, passed away earlier this year. And right up to the end, and even now, we are seeing the fruit of his life and what he was able to give to so many. So the beginning of this scripture we're going to read in Psalm 92, verse 12, is for everyone here. The righteous, and what becomes of us if we live this way. Let's look at it. It says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. We're going to stop there for a second. To flourish like a palm. Chris, can I have that little one? Thanks. And I got this, someone spoke to me about this a couple of years ago, lovely Deirdre Harrison. Thank you so much, Deirdre, for sharing this scripture with me and this thing here. And it says that it flourished like the palm tree. And I've got this little palm branch here. That's good there, mate. And I want you to have this image of the palm, and I want you to think more about the palm tree as it grows. And the palm tree grows, and it grows firm, and it grows strong, and it rises upwards even under great pressure, and palm trees are evergreen. And that second part where it says it grows like a cedar of Lebanon, this is the place where they grew the best. They grew the tallest, they grew the strongest and the largest. They had roots that went deep and they had branches that stretched wide. And that question about how or where does this happen, that kind of tree is produced, is answered right there. when planted in the house of the Lord. Lebanon is the place for cedars. The house of God is the place for you. And I know that you can't come to the building right now. The house of God, His presence is with you right now. Thank God for the way that we can do this via technology, that His presence is with you, that we can come together even though we are not physically in the building, that we are still together as a church community. And this is where growth happens. And I want you to know, perhaps if you're watching this today and you think, Andy, I haven't lived my life like this. I tell you what, the invitation into the courts of the Lord, it doesn't expire for you. While you still have breath in your lungs, there is still opportunity for you to enter into God's presence and see good fruit come from your life. Though you may retire from a job, you never retire from purpose. You never retire from purpose. And I believe God wants to today to redeem and remind a few people of their purpose. And the last part of that verse, let's have verse 14 and 15. It says, they still bear fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green to declare that the Lord is upright, that He is my rock, and that there is no unrighteousness in Him. I have that one. Thanks, mate. See, the palm tree of this time is not simply a long stick that you see near the beach, but it's this. Let's have that picture, Dave. Get out of it. That photo's there. You got that? And this one, maybe, yeah, that's the one. That's the palm tree, guys. That's what we're talking about. And now come back to me. And I know you can't see me. It's a bit dark. This thing is a giant. I'm touching the roof. I probably shouldn't be doing that. But yeah, there it is. Look at this. Now, that's a palm tree. That's what we're talking about. Thanks, Maddie. And thanks, Pete Harris, for chopping that down out of his backyard. This is the palm tree. It is significant. It has heavy fruit like we saw in that picture, and it has a wide canopy. Hear this. In Smith's Dictionary, this is the definition of the palm tree. It says, the palm is, in truth, a beautiful and most useful tree. Its fruit is the daily food of millions. Its sap furnishes an agreeable wine. The fibers of the base of its leaves are woven into ropes and rigging. Its tall stem supplies valuable timber. Its leaves are manufactured into brushes, mats, bags, couches, and baskets. This one tree supplies almost all of the wants of the Arab or Egyptian. It goes on and says, but palm branches were also used by the Jews in a token of victory and of peace. To these points of comparison may be added, its principle of growth that is an endogen, and it grows from within. Its usefulness, the Syrians enumerating 360 different uses to which it may be put, and the statement, hear this, and the statement that it bears its best fruit in old age. Its best fruit in old age. I don't know if there's anybody at home that is ready to bear their best fruit in the next season of their lives. See, this fruitful series is not just for those in their prime. This fruitful series is for all of us, young, old, everyone in between. God has created us to be fruitful. So, young person, I want you to know that you don't graduate into purpose. Thanks, Steph. Old person, I want you to know that you don't retire from purpose. Our purpose continues as we together glorify the Lord God Almighty and lift up one another as He calls. The young blessing the old blessing the young, and everyone in between. Each one of us have a responsibility. We've looked at it this year, to grow and to bear fruit. In closing today, I want to tell you a story about a tree, actually. It's called the Endicott pear tree. And you might have heard of the Endicott pear tree. It's a European pear tree that is planted in Massachusetts in the US. And it was planted in roughly the 1630s to 1640s. And this tree regularly produced fruit, has produced fruit throughout its life. It survived three hurricanes in the 1800s, and it continued to bear fruit. In 1934, another hurricane came through and badly damaged the tree. And so there were further protections put in place for this tree, and it continued to bear fruit. But on July 27th of 1964, at approximately 330 years old, at a height of 24 meters tall, one night some vandals came along and they cut off every branch of this tree and cut the trunk off to about 1.8 meters high. Totally cut it down. And many thought that through this kind of trauma that this tree was just a memory now. But the tree hadn't finished yet. Its long life wanted to continue. And as they watched, they saw green sprouts begin to come out of this tree again. To the point where now, at a little under 400 years old, the tree has continued to grow and continues to bear fruit. And I don't know if you're sitting there today and perhaps you feel exactly like that tree. That through this time or at some point in your life, you were going well and somebody came along and cut you right off. Well, I want you to know today that your purpose has not expired. That God still has a plan and a purpose for your life. And I want to pray for you today that the green would begin to come, that fruit would begin to come and continue to come into your life and from your life as you plant yourself firmly in the Holy Spirit. So if that's you today and you want to respond, I'm going to pray for you right now. I just ask you to sit, or if you're standing, whatever you're doing, perhaps you're in the car listening to this, pull over. And maybe just stretch your hands out in front of you, just as a response. Say, God, here I am. Have your way. And Father, I pray for every person who's hearing this today, who perhaps feels like that tree that has been able to bear fruit at some point in the past, but right now feels like they've been cut down. Feels like the enemy has had his way in certain areas of their life. And Father, I pray right now that we would see green growth come by the power of Jesus in their lives right now. That we would see this morning be a turning point in their lives. That they would understand that their purpose in you has not expired, but you have more for them in Jesus' name. That there is more that you want to do in their lives. That there is more fruit that you want to come from their lives in Jesus' mighty name. Have your way in them this day, we pray. Restore the dreams, Lord God. Rebuild that has been broken down in their lives. Restore relationships in Jesus' name. Lord God, give them a platform to be able to speak of your goodness, Lord Jesus, to the generations that come after them. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, I pray for the youth right now that sit there and think, man, Andy, my fruit is too green. It's not good for anyone. That Father, as you do that work in them and as they plant themselves in you, that your Holy Spirit would ripen that fruit right now. And that it would be displayed, that it would be used to see others come to know you, Jesus. Father, we thank you that you have chosen to use us. We thank you and we are your servants. Have your way in us, in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen.
Good morning, church. My name's Jeremy and I've been a part of Life Ministry Church all my life. I'm excited to bring communion to you this morning because I love communion. I mean, I love bread and juice just as much as anybody else, but most of all, I love communion because of what it means to me. It is the ultimate reminder of God's love and His grace for us. For He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, so all who believe in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. God gave of His body His own Son's flesh that we may have life. When I eat the bread, I think of that amazing sacrifice that God gave for me. It is the measure of love and how we recognize love and how to love others. 1 John 3:16, by this we know love. He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. With that amazing sacrifice comes the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us of all sins. He wasn't mucking around when he gave his own life to set us free from sin. Jesus' blood brings us into fellowship with God. In Ephesians 2 verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far away have been brought near through the blood of Jesus." And that blood has some serious power. There's no way we can have fellowship with God through our own strength. It is only through Christ's death that that is possible. Communion isn't just something that we do every so often either. I think it's the easiest way to regularly stop and just take a moment to remember what God has done for us. For me personally, I love to just reflect and spend time thinking about where I am with God. I take the opportunity to ask God what He wants me to change and where I need to grow. It definitely shouldn't be forgotten about or taken lightly. Communion was ultimately shown to us by Jesus in 1 Corinthians 11, 24-29. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat and drink the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. So for me, during my time of communion, I always like to keep it simple. Number one, reflect on where I am, where I'm at with God. Repent of the things I know I need help with. Number two, remember the sacrifice laid down for me. I never want to forget how much I'm loved. The bread symbolizes Jesus' body being broken. And number three, thank God for the blood shed on the cross, and in turn, forgiveness and the blood that cleanses all sin. It is the purest form of love that anyone can show us, and the cup of juice reminds us of that covenant in blood. So as we take communion, keep those three points in your mind. Please take the elements now.